Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating. Diagnosis of canine atopic dermatitis. It can be hard. It sounds simple enough, but it actually can be really difficult. You know, when do we think that truly atopy is the cause of that patient's pruritus and recurrent infections? You know, the rule outs are the most important. Making sure they're on really good flea prevention, that's going to help us not only rule out flea allergy dermatitis, but also other ectoparasites, especially if you're using really good isoxazoline control. So in dogs, that'll be Bravecto, Simparica, Credelio, and NexGard. You know, those are things that are also going to help us rule out other itchy things like sarcoptic mange, which we definitely don't want to miss. Doing diet trials. If we have a dog and they don't have a history of seasonal component, they're a year-round dog, they started really young, they're adopted, we're not sure, like definitely doing a diet trial. If we do those rule outs of good flea prevention, diet trial, and we know it's an allergy and not something else like some weird autoimmune disease, then you know definitely we can feel confident that we have a dog with atopic dermatitis. But what criteria could point you into that direction? And I think there's a few things that we can definitely learn in the appropriate diagnosis of canine atopic dermatitis. And there is criteria. There's a study done by Dr. Favreau, and this has been a study that's been around for a little bit now. But there was published guidelines of where you can feel like based on a dog's presentation and their history, you can feel a bit more confident that atopy is very likely. You may still do the rollouts when you need to, but we can at least feel pretty confident that atopic dermatitis is contributing. And there's eight different things that are involved in these criteria. So number one is having the ear pinna affected, but not the pinnal margin. So essentially, both of the pinna or one of the pinna is affected. Because remember, when we talk about ear disease, we do not forget the pinna. Look for things like pyoderma and malassezia infections on the pinna. If dogs are scratching, they're bothered by their ears, especially if the canals are looking good, we still can have skin infections on the pinna itself, and that can cause a lot of pruritus. The next criteria is having affected front feet. So obviously, we see a lot of dogs with allergies lick and chew their paws. So if their paws are affected with pruritus and lesions, then that would be another criteria. Age of onset, less than 3 years of age. So most dogs with atopic dermatitis, we do see them start at a younger age. So, you know, 2-3 years of age, even less than that. We see some dogs start very, very young, especially certain breeds like Westies that are really predisposed. You know, they can come out of the womb essentially being atopic. It's not as common for us to have dogs who develop atopy at later ages. Now, it does exist, so it's not that it's impossible, but certainly if I have a dog who all of a sudden was older and became really itchy, I would be ruling out, you know, things like ectoparasites, lymphoma, autoimmune diseases, or if I really think it's hypersensitivity, food allergy, that's something that can pop up later in life. The next criteria, number four, is chronic or recurrent yeast infection. So certainly if you have a dog who's chronically broken out with malassezia on the skin, in the claw folds, it happens every spring, there's just always a yeasty mess, that would be another criteria. Number five, corticosteroid responsive pruritus. So steroids work in most of our allergy cases, right? It's just the side effects and the things that we have to be cautious of why we don't want to use them. But knowing that steroids do work to control that pruritus is really important to us because that does give us some indication what could be going on. Like allergic dogs do tend to respond to steroids. So knowing that putting them on prednisone or giving a steroid injection helped the pruritus is another criteria. Number six is mostly indoor lifestyle. Now, you know, of course, this is going to change a bit depending on the pet, but I think a lot of this was aiming at, you know, ruling out things like ectoparasites, other things that we could pick up more commonly in the environment, having things like fleas, having things like mange from scabies. Number seven, non-affected dorsal lumbar sacral area. So this is trying to rule out flea allergy as being the cause of pruritus. That is a very classic area that we see dogs affected in. Their dorsal lumbar sacral area, the rump region, if they're really licking and chewing there, usually that's related to a flea allergy. Now, dogs with ADBE can do this, but again, we're just trying to put together a set of criteria that makes our diagnosis more likely. And then the last one is pruritus without skin lesions at onset based on at least this criteria from 2010. So just having lots of itchiness. We talk a lot about the itch that rashes or the rash that itches. That's kind of the age old saying, right? Because if we have a rash that itches, we're going to be thinking of other things versus we are super itchy because we have a primary allergy like atopic dermatitis. So then that caused us to damage the skin and cause an infection. So kind of going over this criteria again. Number one, affected ear pinnae, but not the margins of the pinna. Number two, affected front feet. Number three, age of onset less than 3 years of age. Number four, chronic or recurrent yeast infections. Number five, corticosteroid responsive pruritus. Number six, mostly indoor lifestyle. Number seven, non-affected dorsal lumbar area. And number eight, pruritus without skin lesions at onset. And so at least based, and there's been different variations of this criteria, but at least based on the paper from 2010, kind of the some of the original criteria put out, this paper found that looking at dogs with atopic dermatitis, if you had at least five of those true of the eight, there was an 85% sensitivity that the dog had atopic dermatitis. And a 79, so basically you might miss 15% of the dogs that have ADBE, 79% specificity. So you potentially are going to inappropriately diagnose 21% of them. So that is criteria that can just act as guidance and as a benchmark when you're looking at a dog and looking at the likelihood that they'll have atopic dermatitis. There's always limitations to guidelines like these, and they're never going to be 100% true. Not all atopic dogs are going to fit within the criteria of these guidelines. It could lead us, if we just solely rely on that and don't do our due diligence of managing infection, of doing the rule-outs, we could misdiagnose atopic dermatitis. And again, there still can be other things like food allergies that can still have some dogs fit into this, these guidelines. You also can have dogs with multiple allergies, and that's what can make things really difficult and complicated at times too. But it does give us some, guidance as far as looking at the signalment history and clinical signs, and it allows us to make sure we're excluding other things like making sure they're on good flea control, so we're not worried about them, the rump chewing being related to that. The important thing is rule outs are important, and we can use these guidelines as a way to heighten our suspicion or feel better about our diagnosis based on the history, though we're still going to communicate with the owner and make sure that we go through our due diligence of cytology and good flea control and diet trial and the things that we could say over and over again like a broken record, but they really are that important. I saw three pets today not on flea control. So this is why we're so passionate about making sure these pets are these rule outs of easy things like the ectoparasites and food are done. But I do want you to remember the rule outs are important. The history is important. The management of the pruritus infections important. When we talk about allergy testing for environmental allergies, whether it's serologic or intradermal or both, these are not to diagnose ADBE. These are because we already know the dog's atopic. We have done the rule outs. We have come to that conclusion already. And we are allergy testing to know how to formulate their immunotherapy. I don't even allergy test a dog if they won't commit to immunotherapy. So remember, it's not a diagnostic tool. If you allergy test a dog that is normal, you're going to get some positives. What matters is if the dog is clinical and we know the dog's atopic and we are looking for a way to desensitize them. I don't care if a dog reacts to ragweed when you inject it on a skin test if the dog is happy and not pruritic or itchy. That clinically isn't relevant, but it is relevant if we have a dog who we have diagnosed with atopy based on the good rule outs, we know they're atopic, and we are looking for a way to desensitize that dog to minimize things like medications and infections in the future. So just make sure you realize that allergy testing, and don't even talk about food allergy testing because we don't do that. That's not accurate. But for environmental allergy testing, we do that to formulate immunotherapy. We do not do it to say yes or no, you're atopic. So it's really important because a lot of times I get patients referred to me and they come in to see if they're allergic or do the allergy test just to see if they do have environmental allergies, but that is not why we do it. We do it for immunotherapy. So I hope that's helpful as far as some of the basics, looking at these guidelines and knowing how we diagnose things like atopic dermatitis. Like I said, the guidelines are really good tools, but nothing beats getting comfortable with that diagnostic workup and ruling out the easy things. And then if we do know they're atopic, absolutely, referring them for allergy testing and starting immunotherapy if the owners are able to.